19:30 UTC on Wednesday, November 22nd, and this is Zimbabwe Today.
The people of Zimbabwe, you who are gathered here to receive me, may I say, in the name of our Lord, I thank you for receiving me.
Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking as he returns to Zimbabwe today. The ruling ZANU-PF party has nominated him to replace President Robert Mugabe, and he'll be sworn in on Friday. Good evening. I'm Kutsunai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chilonjere. On VOA's Zimbabwe Today, VOA Zimbabwe Service's Ray Choto joins us in the studio to talk about the latest development.
How are you doing, Mr. Choto?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. So you heard Mr. Mnangagwa's speech. What do you think this means moving forward?
You can tell from his language that he was kind of showing some signs of force that I'm here, I'm back. I promised you that I'm going to be coming back as the president of the country. He had the evidence of showing that he is the man who is now in charge of Zimbabwe.
How do you think the speech has been received across the country as well as within his party?
There are mixed feelings. There are some who felt that he was a little bit pompous. He should probably have started with a very reconciliatory note, trying to make sure that all those who demonstrated during the kind of tension that has been characterizing the country are also accommodated and acknowledged. But these are politicians. Probably he does have his own strategy, which he thinks would be the most effective way of communicating with people.
There are a lot of people on social media commenting about Mnangagwa's motorcade and wondering if there really will be change, considering Mugabe was infamous for similar antics.
I think it would be a little bit premature to judge the cars that we saw, the long queues of cars, to sort of take it as part of his entourage. You know, he has got a lot of supporters who wanted to make sure that he's safe, he arrives in the country safe, and some of these people were cars belonging to individuals who were simply escorting him, showing some kind of solidarity. I wouldn't want to rush to say that it would be part of his official entourage.
Based on his speech, do you think he'd be willing to work with the opposition?
I know very well Mr. Mnangagwa. He is a little bit slippery, I mean, in terms of politics. You cannot really say where he stands, but there is a lot of pressure that is coming from civil society organizations. Today, there was a church which is also aligned to Mnangagwa, which was calling for an inclusive government. And I would want to think that Reverend Utaunashe, who is very close to Mr. Mnangagwa, would be putting this message across to him that there is need for an inclusive government to make sure that the country moves forward. Zimbabwe is facing a crisis. It does not have its own money. It needs a lot of support from the international community. And it can only get this support if it includes the churches, the opposition party, in a kind of a government of national unity.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
You're welcome.
Celebrations continued throughout the night in Zimbabwe following President Mugabe's resignation. But many Zimbabweans have mixed feelings about what comes next. Reporter Kudzai Zinawashe reports from Harare.
The wild cheers and car horns of Zimbabweans celebrating the end of Robert Mugabe's iron-fisted rule. After 37 years in power, the 93-year-old president resigned yesterday, giving in to pressure from his party and Zimbabweans at large. Now the nation looks ahead. Wensilesi Katuka is a young Zimbabwean and he is hopeful.
I think change begins in smaller steps. This is the first small step, but I think we'll get there sometime. This is the beginning of the future.
Mugabe's former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is set to take over as president. He is one of the figures who helped Mugabe maintain a firm grip on power. Ben Frith is one of the white farmers who was displaced under Mugabe's controversial land grab in 2000.
I think most of us are really worried about Mnangagwa taking over as president. He has been responsible for the deaths of many, many people in this country. And so we are worried that it will be more of the same if he is able to take over and if he cements his power in the same way that he has kept Mugabe in power all these years.
One Zimbabwean, Charity Chirandu, says she has faith in Mnangagwa's rule.
Under Mnangagwa, I think Zimbabwe will be a better country. Not because we're getting rid of the system or changing the constitution like tomorrow morning, but I'm sure most countries will be willing to invest in Zimbabwe.
Just before his resignation, Parliament had begun the formal process of ousting Mugabe. Thousands of people gathered at an impeachment party and many took turns sharing what they want to see for the country, as well as for Mugabe and his wife, Grace. Gift Ostalos is the spokesperson of Tajamuka, a social movement that shut down the country last year while staging protests against government.
Property Mugabe must be arrested. He must be arrested and face the crime that he committed. Grace Mugabe must be arrested. These young people were also calling for the immediate withdrawal of the PhD which was given to Grace Mugabe.
Many people say they want Mugabe arrested, hoping it will bring closure to Zimbabwe. Frith explains some of the things Mugabe has done.
For there to be justice in terms of all the millions of dollars that he has stolen over the years, returned to the country, ultimately he should be tried for crimes against humanity. The terrible things that he has done over all these years constitute crimes against humanity, and he should be tried for the suffering that he's caused, because otherwise, if he is not, the world is setting a precedent for dictators to carry on likewise.
Many people are conflicted about Mugabe going to court. Some say his wife should also be tried, while others say he should go into exile. It is unclear if Mugabe had agreed to conditions for his resignation with the military and the ZANU-PF leaders, nor is it clear for how Mnangagwa will rule. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinavashe in Harare.
Just a short time ago, Emmerson Mnangagwa arrived back in Harare. The ruling ZANU-PF party says it will swear in Mugabe's former right-hand man as the new president on Friday.
We go live now to the Zimbabwean capital and VOA reporter Patricia Mudadigwa. Patricia, what is the atmosphere in the capital right now that Mnangagwa has returned?
Generally, the people are excited that Vice President, that Emmerson Mnangagwa, the now president designate, is back in the country. People were gathered for almost the whole day, particularly waiting for President Mnangagwa to come back. Initially, people were at Manyame Airbase, where Mnangagwa was supposed to use as a point of entry. However, people were later directed to the ZANU-PF headquarters, where they were addressed around 7:00 by President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Do they expect much change under Mnangagwa?
Basically, opinions of people are divided. While some people are expecting change, others are just saying that Mnangagwa is still the same and there won't be any much change. However, there are others who believe that Mnangagwa should have learned from how Robert Mugabe has left his position as president of Zimbabwe, and therefore, if he's someone who is clever, he should learn from the experience and be good to people. However, in his speech at ZANU-PF headquarters today, Emmerson Mnangagwa pledged to be the servant of the people and actually promised Zimbabweans that you work on the economy, you also work on uniting Zimbabweans, and you also said you work on bringing back peace in Zimbabwe. So generally, people's perceptions are divided on whether Mnangagwa will be able to make their dreams better or not.
Thank you, Patricia. That was Patricia, that is who was reporting from Harare.
Here in Washington, many diplomats are familiar with Mnangagwa. One of them, Ambassador Johnny Carson, the former Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, talks about the incoming president's history in the ruling party.
Emmerson Mnangagwa has been closely associated with Robert Mugabe since the country's independence in 1980, and in fact, long before that as well. As a young man, Emmerson Mnangagwa became one of the early fighters and recruits for ZANLA, the ZANU's military wing. He carried out military operations against the government of Ian Smith. He was finally captured, tortured, prosecuted, convicted, and jailed. And he spent part of his time in jail with Robert Mugabe. In many ways, he was a son to Robert Mugabe. In many ways, he is a carbon copy of Robert Mugabe. Like Robert Mugabe, he studied hard in prison. He learned a lot. He gained a number of university certificates and degrees. And when he left jail, he went and got a law degree. Like Robert Mugabe, he is articulate, he's disciplined, he's focused, and he is determined, and he's now proven to be resilient. I think it's important to realize what is happening here. I know that a lot of people in Zimbabwe and a lot of people in the international community believe that the changes that will come as a result of this transition and new leadership will, in fact, bring about democratic reform and economic progress, which is the desire of many, many Zimbabweans. But there is no guarantee of this. One has to look at the past record of those who were coming into power. There are many, many similarities between the heir apparent and presumed next president of Zimbabwe and the leader who was thrown out.
That was Ambassador Johnny Carson, now with the United States Institute of Peace.
Robert Mugabe's resignation has been hailed by other countries as a chance to reshape Zimbabwe's future. China has long and deep economic and political ties with Zimbabwe. It also has close ties with Emmerson Mnangagwa, who received military training in China during Zimbabwe's fight against colonial and white minority rule. Today, China's government said it respects Mugabe's decision to resign and that it will continue friendly relations with Harare. Zimbabwe's former colonial ruler greeted Mugabe's departure as a cruel turning point in Zimbabwe's history. British Prime Minister Theresa May said Zimbabwe has an opportunity to forge a new path free of the oppression that characterized Mugabe's rule. A U.S. State Department spokeswoman called it a historic opportunity for Zimbabwe's people to end the isolation caused by sanctions imposed against Mugabe.
Across all social media platforms, the mood was celebratory. Former Zimbabwean government minister David Coulthard tweeted, "This is the first time that Robert Mugabe has made Zimbabweans universally happy since independence." Yuzachel Chipato, "We will go down in history as the country that removed a dictator without bloodshed or violence. I love you, Zimbabwe, and I am proud of how peaceful this whole process has been." Others took a wary approach, with user Comrade Question saying, "If Mugabe has all his assets, foreign and domestic, avoids prosecution for himself and his family, this is a hollow victory for us, but we will take it." And then others looked to the future, such as user Alex Mafuru, who said, Let us, as citizens, be vigilant, be unafraid. Let us say what we see. We saw the diamond abuses and we kept quiet. Saw the parastatals being drained empty and we kept quiet. Saw the ghost workers in government and we kept quiet. Let us not be complicit again. Doug Coltart, the son of David Coltart, has been tweeting and live streaming from Africa Unity Square. He shares his feelings on the role of social media in communicating historic events.
So, Doug, you have been very, very active on Twitter with images and live streaming and just giving people updates about what's going on. Could you just give me a sense of how it's been on the ground? You've been at Africa Unity Square since the impeachment process started. Could you just give me a mood of what it was like for people?
Yeah, I think this, well, so from Saturday after the huge march, there's been a number of events at Africa Unity Square every day, and there, you know, was a real renewed sense of hope among people that they can play a part in bringing about a change, political change in the country. And then, you know, since from last night, just sort of absolute jubilation at seeing the downfall of Mugabe. Actually continued today. I think for a lot of sort of activists waking up today, there's still a good sense of hope and happiness, but also a sense that the real work of reform and rebuilding the country begins now, and that there's a long, long way to go.
What are people on the ground that you're speaking to hoping for in terms of change?
I think for a lot of people, the economy is very important. You know, our economy has been pretty much in free fall for a number of years now. We seem to be on the brink of hyperinflation again. Which would be the second time in under 10 years. And so I think that's one of
the... We are having some technical difficulties, but that was Doug Coltart speaking to me from Harare.
Mugabe's government long suppressed opposition voices and was accused of countless human rights violations. Mnangagwa himself is among those who face international sanctions for abuse. From Johannesburg, Diwa Mavinga with Human Rights Watch spoke via Skype with our colleague Vincent Makori on what the change in leadership might mean in terms of human rights.
And it appears ZANU-PF could emerge stronger from this. Mnangagwa and Mugabe, strong and close allies for the last 40 years or so, Mnangagwa having been Mugabe's right-hand man until they fell out recently. They have been together, complicit in all the things that have happened in Mugabe's tattered legacy and checkered history of 37 years of authoritarian rule. So, as I said before, these are cut from the same cloth. And as one ZANU-PF supporter said in jubilation as he celebrated, they said ZANU-PF has simply changed the head of the train, but the train continues moving. It's the same train. So in terms of the infrastructure, if you like, of authoritarianism and violence, it remains intact and has now shifted its loyalty to Mnangagwa. So it remains to be seen really whether Zimbabwe will move in a different political direction than that which we had witnessed under Mugabe. But where I could see, you know, some changes is that it is likely that Mnangagwa would move in the direction of a strong authoritarian states that focus on development and the economy without human rights and democracy. States like China or in Africa, Ethiopia or Rwanda. That's how I see Mnangagwa moving forward. He might want to ensure development.
Yeah, but do you get the feeling that the people in those few days might have tasted something, it's almost like they climbed up to the mountain and saw some possibilities in Zimbabwe? Do you see them putting pressure on the new administration in Harare to respect human rights, but also, of course, to develop the country?
It is, Vincent, a tough road ahead. It's no easy walk to freedom. And what has happened in the last few days has not been that the people themselves climbed up the mountain, but the military hoisted them up to the mountain, made them see, and then now they will be gently put back in their place. It is the doing of the military that has been in the last few days.
If we were to give advice to the guys in ZANU-PF and Harare, what would be the best way forward for the country so that when you look back, you could say this was a pivotal time in the history of that country and it becomes a great nation after that?
What needs to happen is that Mnangagwa and the military being victorious in this moment, and as he is sworn in on Friday as the next president, to finish off Mugabe's term of office. This period going to elections in 2018 should be seen as a transitional period to institute proper reforms so that there could be a restoration of civilian rule through democratic elections. What has happened is not a good precedent, you know, a military intervention in Zimbabwe. So we need to have a restoration of democracy through elections. So Mnangagwa, working with others in a transitional team, he should put together a coalition team for the remainder of Mugabe's term of office that is now finishing, to essentially institute reforms. And among those reforms should be security sector reforms to ensure that the military is not a decisive factor and guarantor of political power in Zimbabwe.
That was Niwa Mavinga in Johannesburg speaking via Skype with VOA's Vincent Makori.
President Mugabe has resigned, sparking celebration in the nation's streets. But is there a long-term reason to celebrate as far as the economy is concerned? Joining us from New York is Jill Melandrino, VOA News Business Correspondent, to talk about the prospects for Zimbabwe's economy. Hello.
Hi there. And thank you for having me on today. So let's take a look at what happened with the country's economy over the past 37 years of Mugabe's rule. Recall that Zimbabwe was once called the breadbasket of Africa. Now, his woes began in his early years as president when the country was struck by drought and a world recession resulted in commodity export prices decreasing. So to combat this, Mugabe decided to shift economic policies, implementing the Economic Structural Adjustment Program that allowed for an open market economy, but that plan failed. And then you also had unbudgeted civil war and unrest, which further exacerbated the dire situation. Let's take a look at what happened with the currency. By 2006, Zimbabwe's annual inflation rose above 1,000%. And as time progressed, the introduction of new bills flooded the market. This later grew to the point where a $100 trillion banknote was released into circulation. In a period of hyperinflation, Zimbabwe was forced to abandon its currency and replace it with the U.S. dollar in 2009, and further had to resolve to issuing bond notes last year in an effort to introduce some form of liquidity. We spoke about this last week, and what we're seeing now is Zimbabweans have turned to cryptocurrency as an alternative to escape inflation and purchase goods online from international suppliers and traders.
Do you think there is any hope for economic improvement under the new government?
Well, ultimately, Zimbabwe's growth depends on what kind of government results from the current upheaval. Much hope lies in the return of the vice president to power. In fact, Ryan Turner at Protection Group International told CNBC Africa, quote, early indications that the military hopes to improve the economic situation and the vice president's apparent support for pro-business reforms are cause for cautious optimism after decades of mismanagement under Mugabe. So it looks as if there is some hope there. Yes.
Jill, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Robert Mugabe fell from power after 37 years of ruling Zimbabwe.
6 years ago, Egyptian Hosni Mubarak was forced out after 30 years in power. In both cases, Succession was a major factor leading to their removal from power. Ahmed Fati, managing editor of the New York-based American TV, spoke to VOS Mohammed El-Shinawi about how succession in dictatorship is always a final move towards the end.
37 years is quite a substantial, long time to rule a country. Robert Mugabe did not just rule Zimbabwe. He transformed it into a kind of a private property for him and his family. He was a historical leader of independence, and he gained the independence back then. And he consolidated his power through a party, which is the ZANU-PF, but giving concessions to create small pockets of corruption throughout the country. Zimbabwe has the largest shrinking economy in the world, have an astronomical annual inflation of 221% annually. And still, he controlled the military, he controlled the judiciary, he controlled the security apparatus. All came to a point that these entities saw that it is in their benefit to force Mugabe out, especially after the army has moved and the generals have withdrawn their support from Mugabe, although they were a main tool into oppressing the Zimbabwean people.
So how would you compare the falling of Mugabe to that of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak in 2011?
The key similarity between the fall of Mugabe and the fall of Mubarak in 2011 is that family. This is the key word. Mubarak wanted to pass down the power to his son, Gamal, while Robert Mugabe wanted to pass the power to his wife and Vice President Grace. So, search for the family, the two similarities are quite obvious. The other part, how the people received both the news of the resignation of Mubarak and of Mugabe. I was watching yesterday, and I said to myself, this scenes I have seen all over again. The jubilation of the population out in the street, the friendly gestures from the military towards the people of Zimbabwe. This we have all seen in Tahrir Square back in February 11, 2011. So both of them have similarities. Both of them ruled for extended period of time. Mubarak ruled for 30 years. Mugabe ruled for 37 years.
Is there a reason for the people of Zimbabwe to celebrate the departure of their dictator?
Of course, it's a big event, but what does the future hold? That's the main question. I was looking over some reports coming from Harare. It seems there is a tendency or a leniency towards forming a coalition government to take over. The ZANU-PF party have elected a new leader who was served previously as the Mugabe's vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa. And he's trying now to reach out to the opposition leader, namely the Democratic Movement of Change. How long this outreach is going to last, how long the peace is going to last, I don't think, based on our experiences and observation in the Middle East, it's going to last for long. This can be a maneuver to absorb the anger of the street. But at the end, Mnangagwa holds a lot of power. He's a ruthless operator, same way as Mugabe. What's going for Mnangagwa a little bit further, that he is preferred by China. China is the largest investor in Zimbabwe. Whether they liked how Mugabe was running the economy or not, Mnangagwa represents for them a safer bet to protect their interests in this country.
Final question. What is the lesson to be learned from the rise and fall of both Mubarak and Mugabe?
The main lesson, I think, that it is relatively easy to remove a dictator from office, but it is an extremely difficult task to root out dictatorship from every corner in the country since they become really deep-rooted, and they stand as an obstacle towards forming a modern and vibrant democracy.
That's it for today.
Join us tomorrow.
I'm Kudzinai Mutetwa.
And I'm Chido Njeri.